the things they did to Christians, and he suffered tremendously 14 years in prison for his faith and just unimaginable torture. But through it all, nothing but love came out of this man. And to me, that's the best picture of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest manifestation of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's impossible to do what he did unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I was going to show this a little later on in the message, but I thought it would be better to just show it now. It's only 6 minutes long, and then just get into the Word. So just let God minister to you. It's a promo for a movie they're going to make about his life, but just watch it and understand that what you're seeing is real. A lot of Christians go through these things over the centuries. You know, Christians have suffered greatly for the faith. And the early church experienced a lot of what you will see here, and yet they loved. They manifested Christ through their suffering and death. And that, to me, again, is the greatest testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, again, I pray as we look at your word, you would somehow convey to our hearts the realities of what it means to truly follow you, what it means to be full of your spirit, which is love, so that we as well, Lord, can glorify you as your body, as your church, as your people. Lord, I'm praying and believing you that you're going to have a vital church in these days we're living, Lord. There's a desperate need for people to know that you're real, to know that there's a God in heaven that loves them. And Lord, you've left us to be that example, Lord. But we need your Holy Spirit, God. We need divine influence within us, working out your purpose and will through our lives as we surrender to you, God, as we look to you, as we give all to you. So God, I pray you'll speak to us through your word. I pray you'll do in our hearts what is necessary so that you'll have a vital church in these days that we're living. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I spent many hours reading testimony of many saints that have gone before us, that have suffered, that have done miraculous things for the Lord. And the more you read that, the more you meditate and look at true Christianity and what happens when someone truly embraces the message of the cross and then allows that to work in them and out of their lives, you witness things like that. Things that you look at and in the natural you say, how do you do that? How do you love someone that hates your guts, that despises you, that harms your family? How do you do that? The disciples tried to do that before they were empowered with divine strength and love. And Peter, especially, really believed with all of his heart that he could die for Jesus. And I hope that would be my testimony. I hope I would be willing, no matter what, to lay my life down, to endure whatever God has for me, to endure and glorify him in the midst of it and not back down, and through the trial accomplish the very thing God wants to do through my suffering. I hope and pray that I would be able to answer that call. But, you know, the more I think about that, the more I see how I respond In my daily life, my wife just smirked when I said that. What do you mean by that? Because she knows, she lives with me. She lives with me. I get offended very easily. I don't always respond with love. Now, I know you guys don't struggle with that, but I do immensely. I have a hard time loving people in my own strength. But I've had times in my life where I've just gotten desperate, where I've gotten so grieved at how I could still be and how I could still treat people, and my heart just despairingly cried in faith to God that He had to do something. And I stayed there until I felt like He had heard me. And I have experienced at times where God totally took control of me in situations. I remember one time I used to drive a water truck for our ministry, and we had a couple of different drivers, and some other driver must have cut this other guy off that also picked up water, but when I went to the water hole, he thought it was me. And he was a good old boy in what do you call that? Overalls. He was a big dude. He was like 6'4", had to be like 300 pounds. He was a big dude. And he got in my face and he was cursing. And he was about to clock me. And you know, I'm thinking, okay, I just got to get crazy, because that's what I used to do. And you know what? I'm going to give it my best shot. Because that's how I react initially. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit took control of me. And I was full of love for this guy. And I just calmly apologized to him. And I just began in my heart to just love this guy. And I watched him melt in front of me. He didn't even know how to respond to that. He had to look like that guy did. Not that I would even think of comparing that to that. You understand that? But I've had times like that. I've had times where I walked away and said, how in the world did I do that? But sadly, I've had more times where I didn't walk away that way. And that grieves me. But it makes me seek God all the more. And it helps me to understand I need Him. Because I prove to myself over and over and over again, I cannot live this Christian walk without God's help. That's why being filled with the Holy Spirit is so important. But yet, we neglect it. We don't pursue God for it. We don't understand even what it means and the importance of it. So as we look at this today, my prayer really is that God will help you understand your need for Him, and that you will get desperate and you will want to be full of the Holy Spirit, because it's vital. You can't be a vital church that isn't full of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. We cannot fulfill the Great Commission in the flesh. So I'm going to read in Acts 4, which we've been looking at in verse 31, where they're being attacked, they're being persecuted, and they're praying. Just like that man was praying, and they're asking God, basically, to give them what they don't have in themselves. And it says in verse 31 that when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness, and that's what they had asked for. They spoke the word of God with boldness. In other words, all the fear was gone, because that's what will keep you and I from speaking the word of God boldly. Fear of man. But you see, perfect love casts out fear. And when you are full of the Holy Spirit, which is God's, He is love. So when you are full of love, perfect love casts out fear. They were fearless in the face of their persecutors, and they proclaimed boldly the word of God. And the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And then further down it says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So I want to look at this idea of being filled with the Spirit, because there's so many references to it in the scriptures that we can't ignore it. In Acts 1:5, Jesus tells them, John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And he told them to go to Jerusalem. He told them to go in the upper room, and he told them to wait for the promise. And in Acts 2:4, we see the promise fulfilled. It says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 4:8, Peter, who at one time failed and ran because of his fear of man, now is preaching with boldness. So much so, 3,000 got saved that day through his preaching. Peter. But listen to what it says. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. It wasn't Peter. It was the Spirit of God. Then Acts 6:3, when they needed men to help with the administration because the church was growing, they didn't go and get resumes. They didn't go and see who had this kind of talent and that kind of talent. No, it says they sought out men that were full of the Holy Spirit. See, but in church, we have learned now with the business model to look at people's gifts and talents and where they would fit in. But no, all you need is to be full of the Holy Spirit. And they had wisdom because of it. Acts 7:55, as Stephen is being stoned to death, it says, and being full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up and heaven opened and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And further down it says he prayed, Father, don't hold this sin against them. The people that are stoning him. You can't do that in the natural. Because that's the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit that cried from the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. It's not an it or a thing. It's God. God in three persons. And he's love. Acts 9:17, when Ananias was sent to Saul, when he had his conversion on the road to Damascus, and he says to Saul, Jesus that appeared to you on the way came and sent me that you may receive sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 11:24, talking about Barnabas, says he was a good man and he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Acts 13:52, it says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And then in Luke 1:15, talking about John the Baptist, it says he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. So God had a purpose for him. See, God understands, and from the womb he was filled with the Holy Spirit to carry out God's purpose in the earth. Luke 1:41, his mother Elizabeth, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, came, it says the baby in her stomach leapt. John, of course, he was full of the Spirit. He's already leaping in the womb. And it says this, it says, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:1, it says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's when he was baptized by John, and the dove ascended. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. What? What for? For his mission? Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. That kind of messes with your mind a little bit. But it's true. That's where you just got to take it by faith. I don't have to understand it. But Jesus needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I can do it in my flesh. I can do it with my abilities. I can do it with my mind and my strength. Jesus said, I can do nothing without the Father. Then in Romans 15:3, Paul, praying for the churches, prayed, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then in Ephesians 3:19, he prays that they would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that they may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then lastly, Ephesians 5:18 commands us, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So what does that mean? What does that look like? All Christians have the Holy Spirit. If you have truly put your faith, if you have truly been born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. But his filling is another thing. His filling is another thing. Just because last week maybe I walked close with God doesn't mean I don't need to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. What it tells us is this isn't just for the apostles or ministers. No, it should be the ordinary, consistent experience of every true believer, that they continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every believer. Not just the superstars, as we make them. We make the superstars. You know that, right? There are no superstars in the Bible. I love Paul when he says, why are you saying I'm of Paul an apostle? Why are you doing that? Why are you making man important? See, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're always glorifying Christ. You're like John the Baptist, who was full of the Holy Spirit, that says, I must decrease so he can increase. So someone that makes a name for himself, they're probably not full of the Holy Spirit. Someone that's not glorifying Jesus and pointing you to Jesus, they're probably not full of the Holy Spirit. They're probably full of themselves. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. So like John, we can say, Lord, let me decrease so you can increase. I don't want people to see me. I don't want people to look to me. I want them to see you. I want them to look to you. So how does this happen? Sometimes it's sudden. Sometimes it comes in strength. Sometimes there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've heard of things like that, right? And we link that with being filled with the Spirit, some kind of tremendous experience, right? But it's not always like that. And the problem with that is, I know a lot of people, it's happened to me myself, I have had tremendous experiences with the Holy Spirit, but you know what? The next day, week later, I was still the same guy. I still had the same flesh to deal with. I still needed the Holy Spirit. And to seek God for the Holy Spirit, because an experience doesn't necessarily change you. And if you are not constantly seeking God to be full of the Holy Spirit, that experience has a danger of making you think you're somewhere you're not. I've seen it. I've been in churches where a guy will be up here praying in tongues, you know, because he's full of the Spirit. And then I talk to him later and I find out he's into pornography. Really? Really? So, you know, you got to be careful. I've had tremendous experiences, but I still had to seek God every day. Because that wanes, and if that's all you look for, you will have a very superficial walk with God. Because we need a continual deep work of the Spirit in our life every day. I'll give you an illustration. In drought-stricken lands, they have reservoirs because they have droughts. There's going to be times where there's no water. So this dam, and they have them around here sometimes, they'll make a pond, you know, along a waterway or a little stream. Okay, and that's how it gets filled. Well, there's other times there's a fountain maybe. A spring, thank you, that just kind of gently comes up and it gets filled that way. So that's a picture, you know, of filling. One way, it's slow, it's gradual. That spring just comes up and it fills that reservoir. But the stream, what happens with that? That typically will run dry because the stream's not overrun. But then all of a sudden, you get a downpour. And all of a sudden, in a couple of hours, that reservoir is full. So that's a picture of two different ways we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But again, the danger is, with the latter, is that if you don't attend to that, it dries up. And then you're always looking for the experience. But really, the spring is better. Tapping the spring. Jesus said, I'll become a fountain inside of you. You'll never thirst. It's just a continual fountain inside. Be filled. It's the same difference. On the day of Pentecost, when God came, it was powerful. I mean, it was a new beginning. The church was being birthed. In heathen lands, many times, we'll see a powerful outworking of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe a revival. I've been in a revival, a real revival, where the Spirit of God was poured out, and it was powerful. But again, we need to be careful that we don't say, oh, well, that's what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. And unless that happens, I can't be full of the Holy Spirit, or I haven't experienced that. So some Christians feel like, oh, well, maybe that's not for me, you know, because I didn't have his experience or her experience. So we got to be careful with that. There's Christians who aren't content with anything else but great moves of God, and those are the ones that go from place to place. Why? They're looking for an experience. Be careful of that, because there's a lot of wacky stuff out there. The Holy Spirit will never make you bark like a dog. I don't see that in Scripture. You got to be careful. You want to make sure it looks like it does in here. All right. So they were filled. And because they were filled, it says great power and great grace was upon them. It was a definite, undeniable divine influence working through them. Remember what they said about Peter? I think it was John. These are unlearned men. They're untrained men. How is it? They're speaking the things they're speaking. They must have been with Jesus. They understood this was not a natural occurrence. This is something beyond the natural here. Because we know these guys. There's no way they're doing that without some other kind of help. It was an undeniable, and that's one thing. When God does something, you cannot deny it. That's why it's so important, especially today, that there is a people in the earth that are truly manifesting who God is to a lost and dying world, because they've seen enough of the self-effort. They've seen enough of man's abilities and man's plans and man's ways to reach people. They didn't need that in the early church. All they needed was to be full of the Holy Spirit. Great power was on them all. Again, Peter preaching, fearless. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:33, it says, great power was on the apostles, and they gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. So with that, there is things that happen. And we should expect that. That's not what we should seek for, because really the most important thing God does, the greatest way God manifests his power in your life is in your words. When Jesus spoke, people took notice that they had never heard anyone like him. You know why? His words were spirit and they were life. So when Jesus spoke, the word was living, it was active, and it produced what God wanted to produce in the human heart. We can't do that. I don't care what kind of orator you might be. You know, that's how they train preachers, you know, how to be a good orator, you know, how to keep people captive and all that. No, they didn't do that. They were just full of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with both. And they actually proclaimed things about God that people took notice of and said, how is it they're speaking these things to us? And they knew it was God. And again, I think about Peter preaching and 3,000 people being cut to the heart, undone, saying, what do we have to do to be saved? There was no trying to convince them they needed Jesus or, you know, God loves you as a plan for your life. No, he just proclaimed the things of God and the word of God, because it was under the power of the Holy Spirit, cut them to the heart. And they were undone. And they came to them. What do we got to do? The pastor didn't have to sit pleading with people to come up to the altar trying to convince people. No, they said, what do we got to do to be saved? The word of God had done its work. And that's what happens when people are speaking the word of God that are full of the Holy Spirit. But then with that, God does do things. And there's a reason for that. I remember a revival I was at where God moved very powerfully. And I remember I watched a video of it, and I remember thinking, that ain't going to happen to me. And I went down there, and it happened 10 times over. And I remember talking to a wise minister I knew, and he says, you know, we get all hung up on the outward stuff and all that, but he says, really, that's just to get your attention. Really, what's more important is, what is God saying? What is God saying? And I remember all I wanted to do when I was there was repent. That's a good sign that the devil's probably not in that, if you're wanting to repent. If all you can see is your sin and all you want to do is get right with God, that's a good sign that God is in the place. Acts 8:6 says, the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing but also seeing the miracles that had been done by his hands. Acts 8:13 says, Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Acts 19:11 says God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Hebrews 2, you're not going to follow me. Maybe just write the scripture verses down. Hebrews 2:3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will." And we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. The gifts and all the different ways the Holy Spirit, God uses the Holy Spirit in the church. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us in verse 4, there's diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Not for the profit of the person, but for the profit of others. Matthew 16:20, when Jesus sent out his disciples, it says they went out, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. Confirming the word by the wonders and signs done by their hands. And then 1 Thessalonians 1:15 says, Paul says, our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you. The early church, when it was birthed and when God was in and working through his people, the multitude in those cities could not deny that God was real. They could not deny it. Because ordinary Christians, ordinary people all of a sudden had great boldness. Ordinary people, all of a sudden, God was working miraculous things through them. So it was an undeniable thing God was doing through them. And it goes on and it says they were of one heart and one soul, which really, to me, is the greatest manifestation of the Holy Spirit and what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, Paul is telling us, his church, desire the gifts, pursue the gifts. But you know what? I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, this fellowship believes in the gifts. I don't believe the gifts have ceased. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. And why would the early church need that and we not need that? I myself have the gift of tongues and I pray in tongues in private, but I've said to God many times, God, if I can't love people, take it away. Don't let me utter another word to you in another language if I can't love people. Because when I read this, I see, so what? I can speak in tongues. If I have not love, it profits me nothing. And listen, I want to encourage you, don't be afraid of tongues. Just because people get wacky and do wacky things. My greatest times of prayer have been praying in tongues, because God knows how to pray better through me. And when I don't know how to pray, I say, God, help me. And he does help me. And he makes utterances that I don't understand, but he does. And somehow afterwards, I am edified, strengthened. God has done something in me. And we should seek God for that. But if I have not love, it profits me nothing. It's like a clanging cymbal. And then it says, though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. This one kind of gets me a little bit. Although I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. What in the world? I read that, I'm like, gee whiz. Give my body to be burned? Isn't that love? No, because if I'm not in love, there was some kind of selfish motive in it. I wanted people to see what a martyr I am. There was something in it. I wasn't in love. It wasn't about God and other people. There was something in it for me. Philippians 2, verse 1 says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. And that's what it said about the early church. Like-minded. The same love. Being of one accord and of one mind. That's what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. It means we all think like Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. If we're full of the Holy Spirit, who are we going to think like? Jesus. Because he's the one that makes his body one. He's the one who unites the Spirit, because it's one Spirit working in the same body. Jesus prayed for that in John 17, verse 20. He said, I don't pray for these alone, but also all who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Does it mean we all look alike and talk alike and we all dress alike? No, it's a spiritual aspect of who we are. It's God's love that manifests itself through the body in different ways, but yet it's him. It's one person working through a multifaceted body that all have a part. You see, because that's the picture we have in Scripture. He's the head, we're the body, but the head controls everything, and we're one in him. And through that outworking of his Spirit, we glorify him, and we become his hands, his feet, his mouth, his eyes, everything, a body functioning, because we're full of the Holy Spirit. Make them one as we are one, you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. We were getting Chinese food down in Georgetown, and we've known this girl for a long time, and she said something to us that was very interesting, because we were telling her about the church, and she said, oh, I don't know. I'm not, like, being funny, just... how she talks. You got to be so politically correct now, you know, but I'm not making fun of her. It's how she talks. I don't know. There's so many gods out there, and you know, so many churches, and everybody different. I don't understand. Everybody different. Everybody say, I'm right. You do my way. So I told Rose, what would you say to her? Don't you hate when it comes to you what to say after you leave? Don't you hate that? I was like, I know what I would have said to her. There's only one that was resurrected from the dead. But she was talking about all the differences. No, one. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. This is how people will know you're my disciples. Love. It's love. That's what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. It's love. It's what you saw on that screen. It's no matter what people do to you, nothing but love comes out. That's going to tell the world Jesus is real, especially when they see us loving one another. Christians don't do well at loving one another. So you all agree. Well, you need to repent of that. You need to start loving one another. But you can't do it in your own strength. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit. I've had moments where I just love everybody. And again, I say to myself, this ain't me. Where it's just, oh, I just love everybody. Look at them. Oh, I just love you guys. I'm not always like that. But when God gets a hold of me and he fills me with his Holy Spirit, I love everybody. I wish it was all the time. That's why I need to seek him more. That's why my heart is aching and crying out to him to be full of his Holy Spirit. Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, again looked up. He saw Jesus at the right hand of God, and he said, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. You can't do that in the flesh. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission. If we're truly going to rescue souls, if we're going to be a vital church in these days we're living, we're going to need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to seek him for that. I read a testimony of a pastor, Duncan Campbell, who was used mightily in revival hundreds of years ago. And he served as a respected pastor for 17 years, but he saw minimal spiritual fruit. Finally, when he could stand it no longer, he cried out to God and he begged for his manifest presence in his life. That's where I feel like I'm at right now. I'm just being honest with you. I see the need out there. I see the weak conversions. And my heart is just, God, I am not settling for that. I believe everything written in your word is true. I don't care what everyone thinks. So I don't care what everyone else is doing. I know what you did in my life, first of all. It was a miracle. You haven't changed. I've seen you move. I've seen God do miraculous things. But I quickly revert to doing things in my own strength, trying to make things happen in the flesh. And you know what? It's toil, years of toil with minimal results. I'm done with that. I'm done with it. God's going to build his church. God's going to rescue souls through surrendered vessels that understand their need to be full of the Holy Spirit, that are hungry for God, that are dissatisfied with where they're at, whose hearts break when they see the people out there that are hurting, that are lost, the people dying around us. We need a greater side of that. We need to let God burden us in that way so that we will get desperate. Because we can't meet the need in human strength. It's impossible. We can't love. We can't lay our lives down for people in the flesh, in human strength. It's impossible. How does this happen? Well, it says, after crying out to God for hours, God suddenly answered his prayer at 5 o'clock in the morning. He later recalled, as I laid there, God, the Holy Ghost, came upon me, wave after wave, rolling over me until the love of God swept through me like a mighty river. See, it wasn't some big thing. It just the love of God filled this man. And from that point onward, God used this man in revival wherever he went. Only after he became desperate to be filled with the Holy Spirit did he see his walk with God raised to an entirely new level. So I want to ask you a question today. Are you satisfied with your walk with God? Do you really feel like your life is making an impact for the kingdom of God? Do you live daily, moment by moment, with a burden for souls? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to reach one soul? Are you willing to lay your life down? Are you willing to lay everything on the line for the sake of souls? Are you willing to make the hard choice? Are you willing to walk away from things Whatever it takes. Because that's what the church does. That's normal. That's normal Christianity. When you're full of the Holy Spirit. See, when you're not full of the Holy Spirit, it's just too hard. And things just aren't real the way they need to be. But when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're consumed with the love of God. And that will compel you. Paul says, it's the love of Christ that compels me. It will push you into a realm that won't be so comfortable. But it'll be glorious. Because there's no greater joy than to lay your life down for somebody and to win souls for Christ. So how does this happen? First of all, it's all by faith. Okay, I just want to say that. Just like salvation is by faith alone, being filled with the Holy Spirit is an act of faith. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Now, I want to preface it. You have to be saved. You have to truly be born again. That means these people that we read about, they had already repented of their sins. They had already consecrated their lives to God. They had already said to God, I surrender. I give my life to you. They already had decided they were going to follow Jesus. So that's a given. That's salvation. But now the Holy Spirit comes when we realize I need his help to walk this out. So we have to empty ourselves. In other words, understand that I can't rely on my abilities. I can't rely on my talents. I can't rely on anything. Empty. You can't fill something that's full, right? So we got to get empty. That's what happened to the apostles. They had been empty. Because you know why? They had all failed. They had all realized through what they went through prior to getting to the upper room that we ain't got it. And God had brought them through a process that helped them to understand, you need me. You can't do this without me. And they learned it through failure. That's how we learn. We don't learn any other way. Without failure, we will go on thinking we can do it. So God has to let us fail. He has to bring us through trials and siftings like Peter to get us to the place where we'll finally understand, I don't have it, God, where we finally empty ourselves. Okay, Lord, here I am. Now I'm ready. And now, by faith, we pray and we ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We get with God in the upper room. Now, we're going to do this on Wednesday nights. I did it this morning where you just get in scripture. I got in Psalm 119. I just started meditating and praying scriptures in there. And the longer I did it, the more faith began to rise in my heart. And I began to believe God to do what he said. So that's what you need to do. Just get over the word of God and pray in faith. Jesus said in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. We will come to him and we will make our home with him. That is a promise from God. If you will obey me, if you will decide to follow me, I'm going to come and I'm going to make my home inside of you. I'm going to come and live inside of you. Because in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And in Luke 11:9, Jesus said, I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? See, you have to get over that and read over it and read over it and read over it until you actually believe it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. That's a promise. Behold, Luke 24:49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's a promise that God fulfilled in his people. There's a arch enemy to people being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what it is? Religion. Believing that because I did a set number of things, you know, maybe said a prayer one time, maybe attended church, maybe did this, maybe did that, that I'm a child of God. But that's not what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian means you have been thoroughly convicted that you are a sinner and that there is no hope for you outside of what Jesus did on the cross. And when you embrace that fact and understand that there's no hope for you, there's no way you can earn your way to God, but that Jesus died in your place. He took your sins. He paid a price that you could never, ever pay. And by faith, you just simply say, I need that. God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. What did Peter tell the people? Repent. When they said, what must we do? Repent. Really repent. Stop going the way you're going and turn around and come to me and give your life to me and put your trust in me and put your faith in me and what I did for you. And then you will be saved. Period. You don't add anything to that. It's a free gift. You don't have to earn it. And then in the reality of that, you go on and you offer your life a living sacrifice and you let God do inside of you what only he can do through the transforming power of his Holy Spirit. So we are here today because God is looking for people to fill with his Holy Spirit. But there's some here, you don't have his Spirit. You're not truly born again. You've had religion. Because a lot of people around here understand that. Most people I talk to around here are Christians. But I don't see much Holy Spirit. I don't sense God in their voice. I don't see it in their eyes. But that doesn't have to be you. So I want to offer to you today this precious gift. If you're tired of feeling empty, if you're tired of feeling powerless over life, if you're tired of feeling dead inside, come to Jesus today and really put your faith in him and he will make you a new creature in Christ. So I'm going to ask, if God is speaking to you today and you know that's true of you, you need to come to this altar and you need to give your life to Christ, first of all. You need to make a public confession that, you know what? I never really understood what it meant to be a Christian, but now I understand and I want to give my life to Christ. I need what Jesus did on the cross for me. If that's you, come up here and come to Jesus and put your faith in him. Don't let another day pass without his Spirit living inside of you, giving you what you need. So I'm going to ask us to bow our heads. Listen, I'm not going to stand up here pleading with you. God has already pleaded with you. If you know God is speaking to you, this is what I want to tell you. This has happened to me many times. I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm saying, oh, I don't know. God, I know you're speaking to me, but I don't know, Lord. What are people going to think? And I don't know. And pride starts welling up. You got to humble yourself. And listen, the minute you get out of your chair, God's just going to carry you down, and he's going to meet you. He's not going to meet you sitting in your chair. I'm sorry, because you got to humble yourself. He hung naked on a cross publicly. We can't come down to an altar because it's uncomfortable. We're not used to that. If the Holy Spirit has cut your heart, if God is speaking to you right now, you need to respond to him. You don't always have chances like this. So don't hesitate. If God is speaking to you, come to this altar now and receive salvation. It's a free gift. These altars are open for anyone who wants to come to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Gary, can you and Norm come up? Just pray with him. I know two of you guys. God knows why you're here at the altar. And I know this brother who called me last night at 4 a.m. because he needed God. And God's going to meet with you today, brother. So you just talk to God. Just confess your need for him. And we're rejoicing with you for what God is doing in you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Precious. There's joy in heaven right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray as these men are here, kneeling before you, God, confessing their sin to you, Lord, that they would know the cleansing power of your blood as they simply put their faith in you, Lord. So God, I ask right now you would wash them and cleanse them of their sins. Though they are many, Lord, though they are red like crimson, Lord, make them whiter than snow. That's your promise to us. That if we confess our sins, you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, I pray right now you will cleanse these men. And I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would come and make his abode in their hearts. And Lord, I pray you will fill them with all the fullness of God. So fill them, Lord, with your Spirit, I pray. So we thank you, God, for their lives. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do in them and through them, Lord. And God, we just pray right now that you will break the dominion of sin over their lives in the name of Jesus. So we thank you today, God. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, God, for a new living way. And we just trust, God, that you, these men, that their names now are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't want to rush these guys here. I just want to say to you all, if you can take time out of your schedules, come out Wednesday night, where we're going to be looking at Scripture, where we're going to take time to seek the Lord, just for Him. You understand? It's about Him. It's just to have Him. We got to make time for Him, people. We can't just go about our lives thinking that God's going to come and do in us and through us without us seeking Him, without us making time for Him. You need to seek Him in private. You need to get over your Bibles in private, daily. But there needs to be times where we come together seeking Him, just like they did. That's what the church does. So I want to encourage you, don't let the busyness of life quench the Holy Spirit's work that He wants to do in you. What could be more important than that, really? And when God gets a hold of you the way He wants to, you'll see that stuff for what it is. And you'll realize, why did I make that so important when there's souls perishing around me, when I could be doing so much more for you, God? Redeem the time, because the days are evil. I'm going to be seeking God for this in a greater way, because personally, I need it. So I'm going to do it. You're welcome to come along. But I believe if God's going to do something through this body, it's not going to happen unless we're full of the Holy Spirit, unless we start seeking Him as a body. Amen? Amen. Okay, just a couple of announcements. Dustin, if I miss any